It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that line forms on the right bay. Yeah.
Not that Maggie.
Oh, yeah. Where is he? Yeah!
Chris McGonagall!
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the fan, WFAN.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 202. McGonagall here with you on the fan on this. What is it, Wednesday? Wednesday morning! That's right, 888-808-1019. That's the phone number. We'll take your calls for the next 3 hours. Rocking with you all the way to 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. Fliegelman here with us. And it's me and you for 3 hours. And we got some things to get to. What do you think? The Yankees up 2-0 over the Cleveland Guardians halfway to the World Series. 2 down, 2 to go, as the New York Yankees have established dominance over the first 2 games. And that's all it is. The first thing, let's just say, the series is not over. I can tell it. I walk in the building, Fliegelman's congratulating me. I don't want to hear it. The Yankees still have work to do, but that doesn't change the fact of what's happened here over the first 2 games of this series. And really, let's be fair, over the first 6 games of this postseason for the New York Yankees. And it's kind of all the same. And what that is the New York Yankees have yet to play their best baseball. And the New York Yankees have not played a pretty game. We can get to all the things that happened, the base running blunders, the inability to, again, the first innings. The first innings of these games are maddening. They almost come to the same script every single time. The first two guys get on. Judge can't come through. They don't get the big hit. At least they scored a couple runs. But if you think about what's happened here, the Yankees are up 2-0. The Yankees have won 5 of 6 playoff games. And I would argue that all, and this is how I felt after the first game. I remember coming on after the first game, the first win against Kansas City, and saying the same thing. Well, they didn't. All the things that we were kind of afraid of, all the flaws that this team has, all the reasons we'd be concerned that it didn't matter they're playing the Kansas City Royals, it didn't matter they're playing the AL Central. We knew that this was the best matchup that they could possibly get. We all knew it. We all said it. It's all fair. And you're seeing why. Because despite some of the same stuff that scared us, some of the same things that we feared continuing to happen, the fact of the matter is the Yankees keep winning. It doesn't matter if the ace doesn't have his stuff, because let's be honest, this is now 3 times that Cole has pitched in these 6 postseason games, and only once, Game 4, the closeout game against Kansas City, has he had his best stuff. This doesn't stop the New York Yankees from winning. Aaron Judge finally comes through with a home run, and I don't want to hear it wasn't big. I don't want to hear that they had the lead, it wasn't clutch. That is a big home run to make a game comfortable in the end and give the Yankees a 4-run lead. That's a big 2-run bomb to deep center field, but he's still struggling. And at times in this game, I was more down about Aaron Judge than I've been all postseason, because in this game, he got pitches to hit and pop them up. But Judge not hitting. Cole, other than 1 game, not pitching well. base running blunders, as we saw the stupidity and one of the great calls from John Sterling, which we'll get to later in the show. The stupidity of running into outs in scoring position. Anthony Rizzo trying to take third already in scoring position with two outs and arguably their hottest and best hitter of the postseason, Gleyber Torres, at the plate. And yet they just keep on winning because they are the best team in the American League. They are the better team in this series. And I don't want to say that Cleveland can't compare and that Cleveland doesn't match up, because you know what? Cleveland had opportunities in this game. And here's the other thing about it, and we'll get to all the particulars of this game and all the things that matter. But Vogt has had a great rookie season as a manager here for the Cleveland Guardians. And I don't know if I disagree necessarily with anything that he did, but here's why I'm confident moving forward in this series in many ways. Cleveland managed this game like they couldn't afford to lose it. Cleveland managed this game like they can't go back home with three games to play down 2-0. They managed this game like they're playing a far better team, and they couldn't afford to wait to use their pinch hitter Fry, who can't play defenses in a one-at-bat situation. They can't wait to get to their big-time bullpen, which we've heard so much about, this vaunted Cleveland bullpen. How good it is, Class A at the back end of it, the best bullpen in the league, the one matchup, the one part of a team that could scare you as a Yankee fan. They can't wait past the second inning to pull their ace out and go right to their top bullpen. This was managed like a game they desperately needed because they can't fall behind the Yankees, because they don't have the pitching for the Yankees, because they aren't set up for this series. He managed in panic mode. And we'll find out whether he's right or wrong, but it sent a message to me. And especially when it doesn't work, especially when Fry comes in when pinch hitting in the second inning in a big spot with the bases loaded and Cole gets him to pop up in one pitch. And when you use, you know, your bullpen there to keep a game at 3-0. I'm not saying it's wrong. He managed with, you know, intent to win this game, and they did need to win this game. But ultimately, moving forward, if that's not going to work, if pulling out all the stops, if doing everything you can to keep this game where it was, everything you can to try and win it, you get the bases loaded with nobody out in the fifth inning against Cole, if all of that isn't enough to beat the New York Yankees when they're running into outs, when Judge still isn't coming through early in the game, when Judge and Wells in the middle of the lineup continue to kill them, and there's a discussion about the lineup we can get to, 888-808-1019. I'm not saying Cleveland can't win, but everything is pointing to, no matter what ace is up their sleeve, no matter what they do, no matter what hand the Yankees are holding, when the dust settles and we're flipping over cards, the Yankees have Judge, the Yankees have Soto, and the Yankees have a bullpen right now who can line up with any bullpen in baseball. And that's the other element to me is still, I'm sorry, I know I'm a big proponent, and maybe this is a little bit of beating my chest, and maybe this is a little bit of me enjoying this, as the Yankees are now as close to a World Series as they've been since 2017. But I'm going to talk about the manager for a second. Because, yeah, this series isn't over and there's work to do. But Aaron Boone has had an incredible run here. And he has done a great freaking job. And every single thing and every single decision he's made has been the right one. And this bullpen, you go to Clay Holmes in that spot in the fifth inning to finish off that inning. Clay Holmes, I don't want to hear that, oh, it's because he's not a closer or whatever pressure ever anyone ever felt Clay Holmes couldn't deal with. This guy has consistently, he's pitched in every single game. Boone has brought him in to the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, whenever the game has been on the line, right? We all understand how good Weaver is, and we understand, I don't care about the home run he gave up to Ramirez. We know how great he's been, and he's the closer, and he's dominant, and he's even more impressive in many ways than Clay Holmes, even though now he's given up a run and Clay Holmes has it. But in every single game, when the game is on the line, when the tying runs are on base, when the game hangs in the balance, Clay Holmes is the guy brought in by this manager who massaged this thing not only during the playoffs, but down the stretch of the season when everybody wanted to give up on this guy, when nobody wanted to see him in any kind of precious situation, when nobody, hey, what are you giving up on the game down three runs? Why are you bringing in Clay Holmes? Oh, why would you do that? Why would you do that? You know why? You know why? Because Clay Holmes has one of the best pitches in all of baseball. Because Clay Holmes has stuff that has made him a top reliever for the New York Yankees on going on 3 freaking years. And because they knew what I knew, and what any smart baseball fan knew, that you were going to need Clay Holmes, that you were going to need this bullpen, that you needed more than just Weaver and Canely. And right now, Clay Holmes and the manager who instilled the confidence in him and kept him rolling is in every single big spot. And he gets out of the fifth, and then he goes to Tim Hill. And I'm sure we were all wondering, why not Canely? We saw that the other night. And yet Tim Hill comes in and gets you 5 outs in this game. 5 outs. To keep that where it was, to shut down that rally, to make sure the Yankees have the ability to come back, and they do what they do. The way he's handled the bullpen has been impeccable. And how about Rizzo? How about Anthony Rizzo? Who everyone was worried about. I mean, look at it. This Yankee team has struggled all year. It's actually funny. This Yankee team has struggled all year at first base. All year. Rizzo didn't hit much before he got hurt. Ben Rice, I know he had the 3-1 home run, and we all like prospects, and we all saw a little bit out of Ben Rice, but ultimately, Ben Rice didn't hit either. First base was kind of a freaking wasteland for the New York Yankees. And what does this manager do? What does he do? Well, he massages Cabrera and Birdie through the first series, and you could argue, you know, when you look at it, that it's the most competent position they've had, whether defensively, whether walking, good at bats. What they've gotten out of first base here in the postseason was remarkable, to the point when Rizzo was added to the roster, when Rizzo was given the game one start. What the hell is he doing? Birdie was great. Cabrera's great. You're going back to Rizzo with broken fingers. What are you, nuts? Well, Rizzo right now is giving you the best at-bats on the team. He's coming through with the big hits. Yes, he had a boneheaded play on the base path. And yes, he should have made a play defensively the other night. But Rizzo being in this lineup and at the bottom of the lineup, and again, lineup conversation coming, has been so invaluable to this team, has been so important to this team. So yes, the Yankees are better. Yes, the Yankees are far more talented. And yes, this is what we talked about when we said that they're the best team and that the break of losing the Astros and losing the Orioles in the first round of the wild card set them up for what was, on paper, the easiest path. And that doesn't mean a guarantee. And that doesn't mean Cleveland and Kansas City don't provide issues and don't provide matchups that could be difficult for the New York Yankees. We saw the starting pitching of Kansas City and some of the guys who have good numbers against Judge. And you see the, you know, the nature of this lineup against Cleveland with Kwan at the top and Ramirez in the middle. The back end of this bullpen, who fortunately the Yankees have avoided. So these teams aren't bad. These teams aren't atrocious. These teams aren't terrible. They're just clearly not as good as the New York Yankees. But that doesn't change the fact that decisions have to be made. Moves have to be made. Guys had to be put in slots. Left field was a question. First base was a question. Who do you go to in these middle innings was a question. And every single answer provided by Aaron Boone or Brian Cashman or whoever else you want to give blame or credit to, depending on when you want to give them blame or credit, the fact of the matter is every decision has been the right one. And they have been able to overcome some of the same nonsense that we feared and still put up a good enough performance where right now you feel like up 2-0, they're the better team, playing with the momentum. They've won 5 out of 6 games. Judge just hit a home run, and you're hoping he gets hot. And the bottom of this lineup, and Gleyber Torres, how freaking good has Gleyber Torres been? I mean, the guy, they were talking it on the broadcast. Gattis, who's a good reliever, they got to a good reliever in this game to give them the 2-run cushion. Gattis, whose changeup hasn't been hit in the postseason. Gleyber Torres just sticks his bat out and slaps a little base hit to right field. Whether it's the hitting the fastball in the first pitch of the at bat leading off this game, he's on base in 5 out of these 6 games to start in the first inning. He's been incredible. And you look at the notion of this team that we talk about, well, there's only 2 good hitters, right? Going back to the Mets series and going back to Severino, only 2 good hitters. Really, the whole year we've worried about that. Well, look at what the bottom of the order has done. Look at what Rizzo has done. Look at what Verdugo has done. Anthony Volpe has had the best at-bats of his season this side of maybe the first 2 weeks of the year when he got off to a great start. He has upped his level in the postseason, consistently giving good at-bats. The bottom of the lineup scores 3 runs. Verdugo comes through with the big double with runners on. The first hit with runners in scoring position, what felt like the entire series with that double down the left field line. He gets on base twice. Rizzo with 2 hits. Volpe with a walk and a single. The bottom of the order, Gleyber at the top, has overcome, and then obviously Stanton doing what he normally does, has been overcoming the 3-4 hitters in Judge and Wells not doing the job. This team is not clicking on all cylinders. This team, offensively certainly, has not shown you the ability where you feel like they're going to bust games open or they can't be pitched to or, this is that dangerous lineup who led the American League run scored. They haven't shown you that. Hell, they haven't even shown you the starting pitching that we hoped would be a major advantage in this series. I mean, Rodon pitched great the other night, but even throughout this, Clark Schmidt, 4.5, 5 innings, 2 out of the 3 starts from their ace, Gerrit Cole, hasn't been all that good. Rodon getting, losing his mind on the mound in the first series against Kansas City. What we thought was some of the advantages haven't been. And still, this team is good enough to go out there and take these victories. The manager is pushing every right button. And if this team ever finally does get going, if Judge, in the middle of this lineup, finally gets hot off of that bomb to deep center field, and you've got Judge going, you've got Gleyber going, you've got Soto going, you've got Stanton going, you've got the bottom of the order getting on base for the top of the order, and you have a bullpen right now that's as dangerous as Cleveland or anybody else in all of Major League Baseball, you have a team right now that's 2 wins away, all the confidence in the world that no matter what happens, no matter how they perform, no matter how the at-bats come up small in big spots, they're going to find a way to win. And not only do the Yankees know it, but watching how the Cleveland manager handled it, they know it. It's good times for the New York Yankees. Now, they have to go to Cleveland and get the job done, and I think they will. But right now, they are 2 wins away from the World Series, and they haven't even played well yet. And there's a side to say, well, eventually that's going to come up to get you, or you could say eventually they're going to click. And even if they don't, is Cleveland good enough? Are the things that are clicking for the New York Yankees still good enough to overcome a Cleveland team? And will the manager continue his hot hand? A guy that's been ran out of town, who everybody wants to go. Baseball fans I respect, Yankee fans I respect, who I've worked with, who I've known forever. The Yankees will never win with Aaron Boone as the manager of the New York Yankees. The Yankees will never win again with Brian Cashman in the front office. Well, right now, they figured out a first base situation. They figured out a left field situation. They figured out a bullpen that looked like trash a month and a half ago. And they've been able to do something none of us thought they'd be able to do. Get to within 2 wins of the World Series with Judge not doing anything. And that won't last. 888-808-1019. There's a lot of other things to get through this game. We will. We'll take your phone calls all the way to 5. We got to talk about the lineup
and whether or not it's time to move on from Wells in the cleanup spot and what you do there. We got to talk about the mistakes because the base running stuff can happen. I agree. But ultimately, this team is 2 wins away. Cleveland knew they couldn't get to this spot. The Yankees knew once they got to the spot, it'd be trouble for Cleveland. Everybody knows it.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All the Yankees got to do out, go out and finish the job.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Heartache, none today. Not for the New York Yankee fan. As they are now 2 games up, 2 games left to get back to the World Series since the first time since 09. And we talk about that a lot. Right, don't we? Don't we say that a lot? I know I hear it a lot. Haven't been to the World Series since 09. Haven't been to the World Series since 09. And here's a little clue for the haters. Telling me how bad Kansas City and Cleveland are ain't going to make it any worse, buddy. Ain't going to make me feel any worse about it. I'm going to be happy no matter who they had to go through. Doesn't change the fact that there is some truth to it. We all said it going in. I'd be an idiot to, you know, I would be disingenuous to tell you that it's not the case. Now, they're better than this team. But I would argue that over the last handful of years, the Dodgers have been better than everybody they've played. I think Philadelphia, maybe not this year because the Mets are on fire, and we'll get to the Mets as we preview game number 3 tonight. But, you know, I think you could argue Philly is better than Arizona. I think you could, I mean, it's baseball. Never before has a team, you know, worse than the opponent had played well and won a series. Like, it's the Yankees didn't have to, you know, could have lost these series. And the things that they're doing and still winning is, you know, on one hand disappointing that they're playing in some of the ways and doing some of the things they're doing, but it also makes you feel like, hey, this team is even better than we thought to be able to handle, you know, Cleveland won 92 games. They're not a laughing stock. They're just not as good as the Yankees. And to still be able to play like this and do some of the stuff they're doing and make the mistakes they're making and still be good enough, knowing that, yeah, it's going to have to get better, clearly. Right? As the opponent, whoever it is in the World Series, if they get there, they're still 2 wins away. They'll have to play better because the Dodgers and the Mets are better than Cleveland. I don't think there's any doubt of that. But that doesn't change the fact that they're 2 wins away from the first World Series in 15 years. There is close to a generation of Yankee fans who've never seen it, don't remember it. And, you know, right now I just think that although they're better, I'm pumped because they've done enough you're going to need Judge and Soto to mash. Right? You're going to have to play mistake-free baseball. Neither of those things have happened. They're up 2-0. They've lost 1 game in the postseason. They've lost 1. They've played 6. They're 5-1. I don't care who you're playing. If they went on a road trip in July, a road trip, and played Kansas City and Cleveland for a 6-game set, I think all of us would be pretty freaking pleased with 5-1. You have to be doing something right. And they are. They're doing plenty right. They're doing plenty right. And right now, it's just as close as it's been in a long time, and it feels good.
And I really get a kick out of the, you know, because I think there are messages sent inside series. And the Cleveland manager sent a message to his team, to the Yankees. We need this game. That's how he handled it. And I'm not even saying he's wrong. But that's how he handled it. He brought in all his top guys. I mean, he goes to Fry, his best pinch hitter, the guy who hit the pinch hit home run to get them back in the series against Detroit. He goes to him in the fourth inning knowing he can't play defense. Hedges is in there the rest of the game. Hedges is a 150 hitter. They pitched eight relievers in this game. Eight. They went to their best relievers other than Class A early in this game to try and keep it where they could. They sent the message, we're desperate to win. We're going to pull out all the stops. They took their ace out, their supposed ace, in the second inning. They're desperate. The Yankees didn't play well. The other team's desperate, pulled out all the stops, and it still wasn't good enough. And you know what? It still wasn't even that close. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Joe and Nutley, what's up, Joe?
Hey, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. Awesome show. I don't always get to listen at night, but I do call. I mean, I do listen every morning to your first one. I listen to.
Well,
so
I appreciate that. Which, if you don't know what Joe is talking about, you can always go to the Odyssey app and listen back the next morning. So thank you, Joe. I appreciate that.
No problem. And I don't love the other sports as much as baseball, but hearing you talk about them and just all your passion and knowledge, I'm becoming a fan of all the other three teams. So I just wanted to thank you for expanding my horizons on that. You really impacted
the Well, thank you very much. Listen, you know, I mean, I appreciate that. I must be some kind of salesman to sell, like, you know, the NFL. I mean, kind of sells itself, but I appreciate you trying to make it about me.
But so I wanted to, you're doing a great job, man. You're crushing the show. You're awesome. But I wanted to talk about, I agree with you 100%, the mistakes on bases and base paths have to be fixed. And I'm a little concerned about some of this, the starting pitching, because Rendon in game one, he didn't get through, I think, four innings. Cole didn't get through five today. And you know how many innings we're going to get out of Schmidt and Heel in games three and four? Heel hasn't thrown in, like, what, 13, 14 days?
Yeah, it's been a while.
So my only concern is so I'm just concerned. And really, he's your only option because, you know, you don't have Nestor. You don't have Stroman. He's just
You have Stroman. You're not going to do it. No, I don't think there's any. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. We know where they're going, and they should go there. Clark Schmidt and Luis Heel are the two best options they have, no doubt.
Right, and I definitely agree, you know, with that. I'm just concerned, do you think eventually we might be going to the bullpen too much too early and they might get burned out? I mean, remember this, the World Series in 2016, the Cubs and Indians were, like, so burned out by the end. So I guess that would be my concern.
I hear you, and thank you for the call, Joe, and the kind words. You could take it even to the 2019 Yankees, where their bullpen was not only burned out, but they saw them so much. Like, the by the end of the series, they had seen that bullpen. And, you know, the Astros had seen the same relievers over and over again for a long series that eventually, you know, there's no way you can go, and they know how you're going to try and get you out. It doesn't mean you can't get them out, but it's an advantage to the hitter. And that's why I was a little surprised with a four-run lead that Boone went to Weaver there in the ninth. I in the postgame, Jack Curry said it was the easiest decision Boone had all night. I don't know. I mean, he's pitched a lot. You know, I really didn't want to see Ramirez. I know he hit a home run. It's not even that, because I was actually, I saw a clip from John Boy talking about, well, now you know you can't throw him that pitch. I mean, that's fair. There's always learning lessons. But, you know, now Weaver knows not to throw him a changeup inside. I don't think Weaver was trying to throw a changeup inside. He was probably trying to throw it outside. But I didn't like just whether he got a hit or not, whether he hit the home run or not, because ultimately with a four-run lead, it wasn't a devastating hit. It didn't matter. I just don't like him seeing him again. Like, you know, Weaver hasn't been the closer. I know Weaver was on Kansas City. Weaver's been a journeyman. He's been a starting pitcher. I didn't really bother to look. I'm not the biggest, you know, look at every stat, how many at-bats this one has against that one. But so I don't know how much Cleveland's seen these hitters have seen Weaver, but Weaver's a different pitcher now. Weaver's a different pitcher coming out of the bullpen than he's been in his major league career. I don't like them just seeing him as much. I'd rather them not get a good feel for what his changeup looks like. I'd rather, like with a 4-run lead, I felt like that was an opportunity to go to Hamilton and see if he can get through the ninth. Now, having said that, a couple guys get on. Now you have to put in Weaver in a tighter situation. Like, I understand why you want to win this game. So I'm not killing Boone for it. Clearly, my open was praising him. But I thought that was an opportunity to maybe give the bullpen or at least one of their key guys in Weaver an opportunity to get some extra rest. He got 4 outs or 5 outs the night before. He's pitched a lot in this postseason. I thought it was an opportunity to give him back-to-back days off. And then against, like you mentioned, you're going to have two starting pitchers who I don't know how deep they go into the game. You might need your bullpen. And I felt like if you have 2 days off of Weaver, now you certainly have him for maybe even two full innings if you need him for the eighth and the ninth. But, hey, they got the outs. They won the game. But, yes, you need some more length. You need some more length from your guys. There's no doubt about it. And Cole was disappointing today. There's no other way to put it. He's got a 3-run lead. You got to get through 5 and bare minimum. You really should be able to get through 6 with a 3-run lead against this lineup. He didn't pitch well. And that's a storyline a little bit. They've won the game. But now Cole, let's be fair, he was the ace when they needed him to be the ace. Even tonight, could they have afforded to lose this game? Yeah, I mean, you get a split. They've been the best team on the road all year in Major League Baseball. I think they're better than this Cleveland team. In a 7-game set, you tie 1-1. It's not ideal. You want to win these games whenever Cole's on the mound. But they didn't have to win this game. And even game one against the Royals, you feel like, yeah, it was the better matchup against Waka. And then you had Reagans and Seth Lugo coming up. So you wanted to win game one. But again, game one of a series, not must. And certainly this game, not must. The one game I felt the Yankees had to win because of what it would have set up in a Game 5 situation with Rodon coming off his miserable start and Reagans back again on regular rest against the New York Yankees, that was a matchup I wanted no part of. So the one game that Cole has had to win, he pitched great and they won that game. But the other two, not so good. And this one, he doesn't have the excuse of a long layoff. So he's got to be better the next time he pitches, whether it's in game one of the World Series, if they win the next two, or if it's again in game 5 or 6. Rather, it would be 6. But there's no doubt he's got to be better. The bullpen is going to get taxed, but that's why you get an inning in the third out of Hill. That's huge. They still haven't even thrown Hamilton, really. You've got a lot of guys. I mean, right now they've stayed away from Class A, but they've gone through almost everybody. They threw 8 pitchers last night. The Guardians. Cousins really hasn't pitched. Hamilton really hasn't pitched. They've been relying pretty much on Holmes, Canley, and Weaver. That's the three guys, and that's why you have to throw Hill a little bit. And those are big outs from him. But the bullpen hasn't been overtaxed. They've been pitching, but they haven't really been overtaxed. They haven't been in real, real pressure cooker situations other than Clay Holmes, really, who's been brilliant. So, yeah, it's a concern. It's not a concern for me going, they have a day off here. They still have guys you could throw if the game gets out of hand. And I expect the offense to score against a Cleveland rotation that they just took their ace out in the second inning. Like, Cleveland has nowhere to go. Like, that's how I felt about the Mets against the Phillies. Like, they had nowhere to go pitching-wise. The Mets had proved they were going to dominate that Philadelphia bullpen. There's nowhere to go. And while they haven't really touched up, Smith came in and got the job done. Herrin, their best lefty reliever, came in and pitched well. They did get to Gattis. Judge hit the home run. But it just feels like after this game, Cleveland has nowhere to go. They pulled out all the stops. They had Cole on the ropes. They pushed the button and went to their best pinch hitter. It failed. They went to their bullpen early to give their offense a chance. It wasn't enough. Like, it just feels like this was the game where they were pulling out all the stops. They wanted to get this split heading back home. The manager acted like this was urgent. Manager acted like they had to have it, and they didn't. I think this is a very disappointing kind of gut punch loss for Cleveland, considering all the stops they pulled, considering how they were able to minimize the damage, were in the game, had an opportunity, bases loaded, the Yankees ace on the ropes, went to their bullpen early, all that's pulled their pinch hit thing early, pulled out all the stops, did everything they could to win this game, and it still wasn't enough, and it really wasn't even that close. Peter in Clifton. What's up, Pete?
Hey, C-Mac.
What's up, buddy?
I'm a big Yankee fan, and I'm a big fan of your take on Weaver. I have no idea why Boone put him out there. What reason?
Well, he wanted to win the game. I mean, that's why he wanted to win the game. He's the best reliever. They're up in the ninth inning. You got a day off tomorrow.
We're up four runs, but why would you want the Guardians to see him extra time?
Yeah, I don't disagree. I could have. I probably would have went Hamilton if it were me, but I
that's
can't.
That's why. Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's why I agree with you. Yeah,
yeah. I can't complain about it though. Like you say, I don't know what in the world is he thinking. I think that's way too strong a take for it. I think the take is you could have went Weaver there. You could have went Hamilton there to avoid Weaver seeing the middle of that top of the order again.
I think it was a terrible idea.
Yeah, I see terrible stuff. You got to win the game. What if Hamilton comes in and puts three runners on because he hasn't pitched that much? And suddenly now you have to bring in Weaver with the bases loaded and it's a tense game. Then you're kicking yourself going, why didn't I just start the inning with Weaver? Like, you know, it's not terrible. I would have went the other way. I would have tried to get through without it. But they secured a victory that they, you know, that gives them a major advantage in the series.
They won the game. They won the game. Yeah. I won't moan about it and whatnot.
Right, but I hear your point.
I was really going to ask you about re-signing Glaber and how I don't think we should just based off this performance and how he's performed the past few seasons. But what I do want to ask you now is, as you're saying, the Yankees haven't really been playing well. But, I mean, they've won five games. They've only lost one game this postseason.
Yeah.
And you're not the only one. Obviously, Evan Antiki, BT and Sound, everyone's saying it's like, oh, well, they're not really playing their A game. They've lost one game and they're doing good. Well, what's the issue?
No, there is. I mean, it's not an issue. It's just being fair. I mean, let's be honest. They've been bad with runners in scoring position. Their starting pitching, other than, you know, Cole in game four and maybe Rodon in game one here, hasn't been that good. The offense has been scoring runs. Listen, I'm with you. They've been winning.
But you say it hasn't been, their starting pitching hasn't been that good. Well, they can't be perfect. It can't be the bullpen. The bullpen's perfect.
Perfect.
You know that.
They've been great.
The starting pitching, I mean, you can't give up, I don't know, to have a one ERA or whatever it is.
Cole, their ace, couldn't get out of the fifth inning. I mean, Cole couldn't get out of the fifth inning. You've got Schmidt couldn't get out of the fifth inning. Rodon couldn't get out of the fourth inning. I'm not trying to tell you that it's something I'm overly worried about because I do believe in those guys. And it's only, you're talking about one start, bad from Rodon. Clark Schmidt's only had one opportunity. And Cole, I have ultimate faith in. But let's just be fair. They haven't had an abundance of great, really good quality starting pitching considering the lineups they're going up against. I mean, what's going to happen if and when? I don't want to, you know, let's just use the Dodgers for an example because the top of that lineup is crazy. Like, all right, you know, Cole couldn't get out of the fifth inning against the Guardians. What happens when he's got Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez? Like, you know, it's, I'm just saying, like.
I'm not worried about our starting pitching. I actually do have faith in them, except Rodon. I do not have faith in Rodon. I'm just putting that out
there. And he was terrific, and that's the other thing. Boone goes back to end game
one. He was great, but I still do not have faith in him.
Well, if you don't have faith in him, then...
I think our hitting's fine.
The hitting has not been fine. It's not been fine. It's been okay. Like, and I've been arguing with this, and thanks for the call, Pete. I've been arguing with this with people. Like, Judge comes up in the first inning, right? He gives the pop-up, the ball drops, an error. Oh, another gift run. Well, that's not a gift run if Glaber and Soto don't have really good at-bats to start the game. Like, I'm with you. Like, if you look at some of the different numbers that I'm not going to get into right now, the ex-WOBA and the hard hit rate and expected batting average, the Yankees have actually done better than you would have thought. They've hit the ball hard a lot. They've had good at-bats. They've seen a lot of pitches. They've obviously walked a ton. Like, the offense, like, when people are calling it lifeless and dead after the first couple of games against the Royals, I push back. They're not terrible, the offense. The offense has done enough. They scored six runs in this game. I'm with you, but you can't say it's been fine. They haven't hit with runners in scoring position. They scored half of their runs in the first game of the series on wild pitches. Like there is two sides to it, and it's not black and white all the time. It's gray. They've been bad with runners in scoring position. Bad. They've put a ton of guys on. Good. Like, people aren't giving him credits for walks. Walks are good. They've put together good at-bats. Gleyber Torres has been great at the top of the order. Soto's done his job. The bottom of the order has been good, getting on base. They've had just enough guys cold in the middle of the lineup to keep them from exploding when they've had these opportunities. But the offense hasn't been terrible. The offense hasn't been lifeless. The offense hasn't been a joke. The offense hasn't been, you know, nothing but gifted these runs. No, there's a fine line. But you also have to say that there's been some things I'm concerned about. The first inning plays out the same way every night. I'm sorry, if you're not concerned about that, or you're pissed off about that, or frustrated about that, then I don't know what to tell you. But I think five out of these six games, Judge and Gleyber and Soto have gotten on in front of Judge, and they don't score runs. They needed a drop pop-up tonight to get a run with Soto and Gleyber starting the game on base. They have first and third, nobody out with Judge with 3-4-5 up, Judge, and they were lucky to get a run. That's not great. That's not good enough. It's not good enough. Typically, but it has been good enough lately. But again, you got to get those guys on to feel like it's not been good enough, and they have been. They've been drawing a ton of walks. They early in the season against Kansas City, they hit into some bad luck. They do have some balls that were hard hit that weren't landing. But you do have to admit, like, there is an area of gray here. The offense has scored enough runs to win. The offense has put enough guys on base where mistakes made by Cleveland cost them and lead to runs. You know, if the bases aren't loaded, it doesn't matter those balls are in the dirt and get by the catcher. You got to load the bases first. So, I mean, that's fair. And I'm happy that they've only lost one game, no doubt. But there is a story to be told about how they're playing there. Now, and listen, I think the Mets are the same way. Because you mentioned, you know, Sal saying it. Like, let's be fair. Met fans, other than, you know, some notable exceptions, obviously the last game with the leadoff home run and the Vientos Grand Slam. I mean, games against Philadelphia, bases loaded 2-3 times a game can't come through. Getting shut down getting shut down to the seventh inning against Milwaukee. Like, it's not like they've been just having a nothing but boom, 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 slapping the ball all over the park. They have memorable moments where they come through late. But I think you can make a case that the Mets offense has struggled at times and that typically you can't rely on late inning home runs all the time. There's a gray area in all of this. The offense has done enough to win. I expect it to be better, but it also has to be. Like, that's the part of this. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Yo, Chris, you know, you call it massaging. I call it the Yankee Jedi mind trick, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Boone went to Clay Holmes, and he said, listen, you're not being demoted. You're just going to... I'm going to bring you in even more high-pressure situations. It's just going to be in the middle of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Birdie and he said, it's just like third base except with a different kind of glove. Don't worry about it. I mean, this is just – and they retooled – think about this, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
When Holmes was going through his trials and tribs, okay,
yep.
They retooled the bullpen without missing a beat. Yeah. And they're better for it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, that's if it's organizational, you got to give them credit for that. Whether it's Cashman, whether it's Boone,
Matt Blake,
whatever that brain trust did, it's incredible.
No, you're not wrong. You're 100% right, and not enough people are going to say it. You're 100% right. I'll say it. I'll be the, you know, here's the Yankee shill take of the day. Give the freaking Yankees credit. Because what we'll talk about is how the Yankees are a poorly coached team because they can't run the bases. And we won't focus on the idea that this bullpen was in shambles. Absolute freaking shambles. Where we were screaming that Brian Cashman didn't do enough at the trade deadline. That he traded for two relievers. One is still on the team but can't make the postseason roster. And they got rid of the other reliever and jettisoned him and cut him. And we were screaming about this bullpen's in shambles. It stinks. It's getting beat on a regular basis. How are they going to win with this bullpen? The bullpen was a major problem for the New York Yankees. And over the last month, you're 100% right. Whether it's Brian Cashman, who gives you guys like Cousins, who I never heard of, Hamilton, who before 2 years ago we never heard of, Clay Holmes, who clearly was a, you know, a guy pitching to a 4.5 ERA in Pittsburgh before coming here. You know, Canely's a legitimate reliever who's bounced around, who they gave a contract to. Weaver was one of the worst pitchers in baseball, who's turned into an excellent closer. Tim Hill, who the hell is Tim Hill? And yet right now they've been a dominant force and are the number one reason why this team is where it is, two wins away from the World Series. Brian Cashman deserves freaking credit for building this bullpen again. Aaron Boone, without question. I'm sure we're going to kill him about the base running. How about what he's done at first base? How about what he did in left field? How about what he's done getting the best out of Clay Holmes and Tim Hill and all these guys? What about it? They're two wins away, and their superstars haven't, their judge hasn't done it. We talked about it going into the series, and I remember going into the postseason. I remember, I referenced the story a couple times. Joel Sherman wrote a story about how Aaron Boone was going to be important because he was going to have to, you know, manage in this series. He's going to have to manage the decision making on who starts in left field, who starts at first base, how he deploys his bullpen. It's been pitch perfect. Because when you aren't playing well and you're still winning, you got to put that on the manager. Nobody wants to. You only blame the manager for losses. Manager doesn't get credit for wins. Aaron Boone has been doing an incredible job. It could all turn around tomorrow. They could lose the next four. Boone could make every wrong decision in the book and cost them. I'm not saying he's, great from here on end. But up until this point today, as we sit here at almost 3 o'clock in the morning after two games of this ALCS, Aaron Boone has been freaking spectacular. And all the haters are just going to have to own that. And all the Brian Cashman haters are just going to have to own that in the ALCS, he's built the best team in the American League by a mile. Oh, with all the money. The best team by a mile, where they don't even have to play well to win. They retooled a bullpen out of nobodies and cast-offs that everybody could have. There's a lot of Yankees who like to point out, oh, this guy's not good. You know, he's not good enough for the Oakland A's, but he can hit cleanup for the Yankees when Davis was up here. He's not good enough for this. He's not good enough for that. How about Tim Hill, who wasn't good enough for the White Sox? We never say it the other way. We never point it out when it goes the other way. We never say Clay Holmes wasn't good enough for the Pittsburgh Pirates. We never point out the opposite. We only mention it when it's the bad. He's not good enough. Oh, he's not good enough to play, but he can hit cleanup. Oh, he's not good enough for this. He's not good enough for that. Tim Hill was on the White Sox. He wasn't good enough for the White Sox. And there he is getting five outs in this game. Five important outs in the middle of the game. A guy who wasn't good enough for the White Sox. We never mention it when it's a positive. Ever. Mark and Jackson, what's up, Mark?
Hey, how you doing? How's everything?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
All right, my question is, don't you think it'll be, we'll all struggle. I mean, the Yankees are winning and all, everything, it's fine. But don't you think that Anthony Rizzo batting in the cleanup spot and giving Trevino a shot at batting number eight would help the lineup a little bit?
Yeah, I'm going to answer your question on the other side, Mark. I was going to do it coming out of, because I think that's coming out of the break at 2 o'clock, because I think a lot of people are questioning right now the lineup. And I hate to, I'll get into it a little bit, because yes, Rizzo at the bottom and what he's been doing, and clearly what Wells is doing in the middle, the lefty righty thing, there's a kind of a lineup question with this New York Yankee team, despite the fact they're up 2-0 in the ALCS. And we'll get to it after the break. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Still have more to do. Plus, the trade that everybody was waiting for. He's here. Is it too little, too late? It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.